What is idolatry exactly? The idea of false gods, you know, running amok in our own lives. What is it? How can you point it out? How does it get there? And then finally, how can you get rid of its residual effects in our lives? In order to do this, we'll be taking a brief historical view, a stroll through the historical idolatry that is found in Israel. We'll first come from 1 Kings chapter 11, beginning at verse number 1. Then, 1 Kings chapter 12, beginning at verse number 25. And then finally, 1 Kings 18, beginning at verse 20. Again, that's 1 Kings 11, 1 and following, 1 Kings 12, 25 and following, and then finally, 1 Kings 18, 20 and following. We know that in the beginning, the kingdom of Israel was referred to as the United Monarchy. The very first king was a man named Saul, a man of questionable integrity. The second king after him was our favorite, a man by the name of David, who went toe-to-toe with Goliath and came out standing alive. He was the apple of God's eye. David sought to build a temple for the Lord because whereas he had a beautiful palace that he lived in this palace, having fought his way to the top, having peace on either side of the kingdom, he says, whereas I live in splendor, God's presence is in the ruins of a broke down tabernacle somewhere in Israel's basement. He says, because of this, I will build a temple for the Lord. Because he had all this blood on his hands, he could not complete the temple. Instead, his son Solomon would rise to power and complete the temple for him. Solomon, the third king, he asks for wisdom. And then he completes the temple. Even though he was wise, even though Solomon, David's son, had so much going for him, the one thing that was his vice that would eventually send the whole kingdom into ruin was his love, not only for the one W word, wisdom, but for the other W word, women. Join me here in 1 Kings chapter 11, beginning at verse number 1. The English Standard Version of the Bible reads like this. Now King Solomon loved many foreign women, along with the daughter of Pharaoh, Moabite, Ammonite, Edomite, Sidonian, and Hittite women, from the nations concerning which the Lord had said to the people of Israel, "You shall not enter into marriage with them, neither shall they with you, for surely they will turn away your heart after their gods." Solomon clung to these in love. He had 700 wives who were princesses and 300 concubines. And his wives turned away his heart. For when Solomon was old, his wives turned away his heart after other gods. And his heart was not wholly true to the Lord his God, as was the heart of his father David. For Solomon went after Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Sidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. So Solomon did what was evil in the sight of the Lord and did not wholly follow the Lord as David his father had done. Then Solomon built a high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, and for Molech, the abomination of the Ammonites, on the mountain east of Jerusalem. And so he did for all his foreign wives who made offerings and sacrificed to their gods. When we look at Solomon here and his love for women and how he would do anything for the women that were in his life, we see this key concept. Number one, our own pleasure and peers lead us into idolatry. It's our own pleasure and the peer group that we have around us that lead us into idolatry. You want to know what great blessing and difficulty it is to have one wife? Shout out to my beautiful wife who is not here with me, who loves me deeply. Let alone 700 full-time wives and 300 part-time wives. And so then Solomon, because of his peer group, because of the people that he kept around him, these women, they would say, I want to worship the type of gods from back home. It's very difficult for a man to tell a woman no. She throw that hair over her shoulder and come sashaying up to you, asking about the ash to wrap. What's Solomon gonna say? Well, you know, God don't even want me doing all of that. Then she throw that hair over the other shoulder. Then another one come sashaying up to you the other direction. And so now it leads us to our first key concept. How is it that we worship other things that are not real gods? How is it that we worship false gods? It's because our own pleasure and the peer group that we have around us, they lead us into this idolatry. We worship all types of idols. We worship the idol of popularity. Everybody has got to know our name. We worship the false idol of clothes. What brand you got on. We worship the false god of money. Put all our eggs into that expensive basket. We worship the false god of power. 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 That's what we want. We want the ability to stand in a group of people and to wield influence. We want to be able to swing the vote in our direction. We want to be able to conquer things. All of us. You know, that's what's happening in corporate America. You know, that's what's happening in the school system. You know, that's what's happening on Capitol Hill. You know that that's what's happening at your lunch table. Everybody wants power, and they worship the thing. Why? Because of key concept number one, our own pleasure and our peers lead us into idolatry. Are you tired of your face sagging with age? Are you tired of looking unfresh? Do people often mistake you to be 20 years older than you are? Well, it was that way for me until I started using Dr. Lee's home Botox injections. Now, this is Botox made quick, fun, and easy. If you are familiar with diabetic blood sugar testing procedures, then Dr. Lee's product will be easy to use. You just take the pre-filled syringe and gently stab it into the area on your face with the most wrinkles. Let's hear from Vladimir. Ach, I'm 90 years old. I have many wrinkles, but now my face lock baby bottom. I blind in right eye, but I look like Kanye West. Dr. Lee's home Botox injection should not be generally used by children or people with the liver. Side effects may include scarring, redness, puffiness, itchiness, dizziness, headache-ness, abdominal pain, nausea, darkening of the skin, lightening of the skin, really, really bad dreams, blotchiness, a lowered blood count, heart attack, stroke, severe liver damage, gout, and in some cases, depression. If side effects persist, discontinue use and consult your physician. Dr. Lee's home Botox injection. Botox made quick, fun, and easy. Thanks, Dr. Lee. And so the united monarchy of Israel would not stay that for long. The first king would be a man by the name of Saul. Saul, a man of questionable integrity, would be replaced by David. After David would come Solomon, his son. But Solomon's one vice was women. And because of these women, he was known for spending money for them, not just erecting
these edifices and these temples to worship their God on the high places, but also spending money for them. You imagine having 700 full-time wives and 300 part-time ones. You can't fit them all in a home together. And so there were palaces in every place. Jeroboam, who was superintendent over the tribesmen of government building projects, he was familiar with the extravagant nature of Solomon's spending. So then the prophet comes and prophesies to Jeroboam about the kingdom and how the kingdom would split. The united monarchy of Israel would split because of Solomon's fallen ways, and Solomon would fall from power. But you see, Rehoboam was Solomon's son. Even though this revelation had come to Jeroboam, the superintendent, Rehoboam was Solomon's own son. And so now you have a battle that ensues in Israel, in the kingdom, between Jeroboam with a J and Rehoboam with an R, the son of Solomon. Eventually, you see what happened with this outbreak of controversy. Of course, like everywhere, it's over taxes. You know, Solomon wanted to build all these palaces for his women. And Jeroboam is saying, who gonna pay for all of this? Nobody told you to go off and get 1,000 women. So who's gonna pay for all of this? I tell you who gonna pay for it. Us. And so then when this battle ensues over taxes, Jeroboam and Rehoboam find themselves on different sides of the kingdom. And this is the thing that eventually leads to the kingdom splitting from the united monarchy to a divided monarchy. You had the northern tribes at the top and then the southern tribes at the bottom. The northern tribes would retain the name Israel because most of the tribes would be in the north with Jeroboam, whereas Rehoboam would rise to power in the south, and he would name his part of the kingdom Judea, Judah, or by the time we get to the New Testament, Judea, because the tribe of Judah was its largest populated place. Jeroboam started off right, because he got the revelation from God. Jeroboam started off right because he was the king of this newly divided monarchy in the north. But things went to Jeroboam's head, fear and the desire for power. In 1 Kings chapter 12, beginning at verse number 25, the Bible says this: Then Jeroboam built Shechem in the hill country of Ephraim and lived there. And he went on from there and built Penuel. And Jeroboam said in his heart, now the kingdom will turn back to the house of David. If this people go up to offer sacrifices in the temple of the Lord at Jerusalem, then the heart of this people will turn again to their God, to Rehoboam, king of Judah. And they will kill me and return to Rehoboam, king of Judah. So the king took counsel and made 2 calves of gold. And he said to the people, you have gone up to Jerusalem long enough. Behold your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt. And he set one in Bethel, and the other he put in Dan. Then this thing became a sin, for the people went as far as Dan to be before one. He also made temples on high places and appointed priests from among all the people who were not of the Levites. And Jeroboam appointed a feast on the 15th day of the 8th month, like the feast that was in Judah. And he offered sacrifices on the altar. So he did in Bethel, sacrificing to the calves that he made. And he placed in Bethel the priests of the high places that he had made. He went up to the altar that he had made in Bethel on the 15th day in the 8th month, in the month that he had devised from his own heart, and he instituted a feast for the people of Israel and went up to the altar to make offerings. Jeroboam started off on the right foot, receiving revelation from God. And when he becomes king, the first thing he does, he says, now, wait a minute. We know that there's only one approved place to worship in the temple in all of this land, and that is in Jerusalem. It just so happens that Jerusalem is not in my kingdom in the north. It happens that Jerusalem is where? Down south. I don't want them going down south. You ever seen religious folks get with folks from back in the day? Oh my goodness, baby, I ain't seen you in a long time. Come hug my neck.
Jeroboam scared that the north gonna go down to Jerusalem and smell that chicken off in the foyer. You know, during homecoming, you can smell a chicken as soon as you get onto the parking lot. Cakes as far as y'all can see. He said, no, I don't want my people in the north going back down there with Rehoboam's people and you being pulled in by the center fried chicken, hugging folks' neck. I just miss you. I miss you too. I wish things was like they was. I know things were good back then. It wasn't all bad. And you know how church folk get, and I don't know what done got into Jeroboam.
Rehoboam struggling too.
I know, but at least it's something we know, honey. We may just need to get Jeroboam out of here and just put Rehoboam over everything. You know, he was Solomon's son. Oh, Solomon. I remember back in my day, King Solomon. Oh, let me tell you something about my king, honey. That was my king, honey. And so then what is Jeroboam to do? So Jeroboam just says, no, we're not going down there. I'm about to make worship spots all over the north, which is clearly against God's law. And he does the same thing that they do in Exodus 32. He creates an idol, a golden calf. He sets it up and he says, this is the God that brought you out of Egypt. Playing like it's for God when it's really for him. And that leads us to key concept number two. Powerful people bamboozle us into idolatry. Powerful people bamboozle us into idolatry. Jeroboam was a selfish crook, and the whole nation paid for it. People in high places prey on our worship of things. People every day in high places that we can't see, they are preying on us and bamboozling us into worshiping things on earth that are not God. People in powerful places. Let me tell you how I know. Your Louis Vuitton, your coach, the people who make it, made it for 50 cents in a sweatshop in Italy, but they sold it $2,000 to us on sale. And we wrap our arms with it, and we step out in it. And we worship it. And we say, look at this attention I'm getting. We worship the attention. We worship the applause. We live for the clout. And so, powerful people in places we don't see who make up the 1% are bamboozling us into idolatry. And we lose our souls over it.
But what you saying? We can't have nice things? I didn't say that. You said that.
That's your guilty conscience. You know how we get. It's like, nah, the Lord done blessed me with this. I know what God wants for my life. I understand all of that. There's a difference between having nice things versus nice things having you. And we cannot always tell the difference, no matter how much we lie to ourselves.
Key concept number two, powerful people bamboozle us into idolatry. They are preying on the fact that we want validation, preying on the fact that we want to be pretty, preying on the fact that we have to make something of ourselves by worshiping something that ain't God. These powerful people gonna drag us to hell. Rialzo is the newest weight loss and muscle building supplement. Why don't you shed those pounds and live a happier, leaner life today? Why don't you gain that muscle so everybody can stop and stare at you and wish that they were you? For just 35 easy payments of $2,300, you can have the greatest product known to man. Hey, Sue, how do you like Rialzo? Well, I used to be a size 20, and just 3 months later, I'm a size zero. And even though I have a hard time sitting upright, I'd do it all over again. Thanks, Rialzo. Hey, Jim. Jim, what do you think about Rialzo?
Well, I used to be 120 pounds of skin and bones. But now, I've got muscles the size of basketballs. Now, I have contracted rabies. Oh!
But I've got muscles the size of basketballs. Thanks, Rialzo. You should not use Rialzo while operating a vehicle or while not operating a vehicle. Side effects may include dizziness, heavy menstrual cycles, abdominal pain, headache, muscle spasms, knee jerks, a blue tint to one's vision, screaming, heart attack, stroke, fatigue, nausea, depression, suicidal thoughts, hallucinations, diabetes, arthritis, and in some cases, death. If side effects persist, consult your physician. And if death occurs, please discontinue use. For just 35 easy payments of $2,300, you can have the greatest product known to man. Thanks, Rialzo. And so, the Northern Kingdom was the first of the two to go completely off of God's path. The Northern Kingdom, under Jeroboam's reign, would fall to idolatry, and he would start what would be a consistent trend of idolatry with every single king, almost, that would follow him. Nadab reigns. Baasha reigns after him. Elah after him. Zimri after him. Omri after him. And then who would rise to power would be a man by the name of Ahab, the worst king that Israel had ever known. It was Ahab who married the Sidonian woman, the daughter of the king, a woman named Jezebel. They, under her leadership, would fall to the very, very evil, sick, twisted worship of Baal. And so then whenever God wants to put a stop to this, he raises up a prophet by the name of Elijah. And Elijah won't stand for it. After all these centuries, after all these kings, Elijah sees that we have gone to a point of no return. And he calls Israel back to God, away from these idols. And you see this toe-to-toe conflict that he, Elijah, the prophet of God, has with the prophets of Baal. In 1 Kings 18, beginning at verse number 20, the Bible says this: So Ahab sent to all the people of Israel and gathered the prophets together at Mount Carmel. And Elijah came near to all the people and said, How long will you go limping between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people did not answer him a word. Then Elijah said to the people, I only am left of the prophet of the Lord. But Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let two bulls be given to us. And let them choose one bull for themselves and cut it in pieces and lay it on the wood. But put no fire to it. And I will prepare the other bull and lay it on the wood and put no fire to it. And you call upon the name of your God, and I will call upon the name of my Lord, and the God who answers by fire, he is God. And all the people answered, It is spoken well. Then Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, Choose for yourselves one bull and prepare it first, for you are many, and call upon the name of your God, but put no fire to it. And they took the bull that was given them, and they prepared it and called upon the name of Baal from morning until noon, saying, Oh, Baal, answer us. But there was no voice, and no one answered. And they limped around the altar that they had made. And at noon, Elijah mocked them, saying, Cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is musing or relieving himself, or he is on a journey, or perhaps he's asleep and must be awakened. And they cried aloud and cut themselves after their customs with swords and lances until the blood gushed out upon them. And as midday passed, they raved on until the time of the offering of oblation. But there was no voice. No one answered, and no one paid attention.
When you look at the difference between the prophet Elijah and the 450 prophets of Baal, you see what happens with idolatry. Elijah, he says, let's have a duel. Which one of our gods is going to light this thing up first? I'll let you go first because it's more of you. And so then when he goes first, when these prophets go first, oh, Baal, they call out, hear us, Baal. But there was no answer. And so then they get to dancing. Oh, Baal. Oh, Baal. No answer. And you know, Elijah's super petty. Well, maybe he thinking in his library. Maybe he's in the bathroom. That's what the scripture says. Maybe he's relieving himself. Maybe he in the bathroom. Well, maybe he left for vacation. Maybe he's asleep. And so then, because of that insult, the prophets kick it up a notch. And the notch that they kicked it up to, which was their custom, they took rocks and began to cut themselves open. And that leads us to key concept number three about idols. We always give more to the idol than they give to us. You do know that it is the practice of pagan idolatry that you cut yourself to show the idol that you are willing to give your life. That you hurt yourself to prove to the thing that you want really, really badly what it has to offer. But there is no answer. We hurt ourselves for idols, but there is no answer. It's like a relationship with an ungrateful woman or a relationship with some low-down, lazy man. You give and you give and you give, and there is nothing in return. Idols. Sometimes we have to say, whatever's in my life, whatever idol I have, I'm going to have to kick it to the curb. Whatever I'm worshiping on a day-to-day basis that is not God, whatever I'm worshiping, you can tell what you're worshiping. The thing you put your time into, the thing you put your money into, the thing you put your thoughts into, whatever those things are that ain't of God, that gets you all riled up, that's taking up time in your mind, in your school, at your job, on your cell phone. I want you to go through your cell phone search history, and I can tell you who you worshiping. I want to pull up your bank account. I can see who you worshiping. What I'm saying is, we give to these gods because we think that they're going to give us something back, but we wind up giving our life and they give us nothing. You see, serving these idol gods, they are making us spiritually sick. It feels good for a moment, but don't you know that serving gods leaves these awful, detrimental side effects? Look at the side effects that worshiping these false gods leave us with. Fathers leaving their children, children having children, homosexuality, the sin that's now right, or even the fact that people in the church who struggle with it got to keep it secret. Teen suicide now in America, in American history, teenagers are committing suicide more now than ever in American history. School districts that can't educate kids, that's like a volleyball team that can't volley. Do you see that these are side effects when you worship money, side effects when you worship education, side effects when you worship name brand, side effects when you worship attention, side effects when you worship pride? These are side effects, and they are idol gods. These gods leave all these side effects. They are so much like extreme hair growth for men. These gods, they are just like Dr. Lee's home Botox injection. These false gods, they're just like Rialzo weight loss supplement, making all these promises they will never keep. Get spiritual quick. Get rich quick. Get out your depression quick.
Get out that anxiety quick. Get out your marriage quick. Get out that uncomfortable position that God's got you in quick. Get out of it quick. If you just serve this false God, we got these promises. Before you know it, you're going to be just fine. When in reality, these idols, they are making us sick. Why are they making us sick? How do we even get into this position? For many reasons. If we look at the Israelite history, though, we'll see three insights that today we call concepts. Key concept number one, it's our own pleasure and the peer group that we run with that leads us into idolatry. Key concept number two, powerful people in high places we can't even see. They bamboozle us into idolatry. Key concept number three, we always give more to the idol than they give to us. And this is the true nature of idols. Sometimes we don't understand what idolatry actually is. We think that when someone says, you're making money, or comfort, an idol, what that means is we take it to mean that we're putting money on a pedestal and bowing down and worshiping paper, green paper, and metal coins. That is not the biblical idea of idolatry. The biblical idea of idolatry is not you're worshiping the thing. Not so. When they erected in Exodus 32, and then when Jeroboam did it centuries later, when they erected these calves, they were not literally worshiping gold images. Not so. An idol is a physical object that serves as a doorway to a spiritual deity. That's what an idol is. You're not worshiping attention. You're not worshiping basketball. You're not literally worshiping money and a piece of paper on the wall that says you graduated from so-and-so insignificant place. What idolatry is an object, a physical thing that serves as a doorway to a spiritual deity. That the idol is money. And when we worship it, it becomes a door. And there's a real spiritual deity behind the door. A malevolent evil spirit behind the door, that when you worship it, the spirit opens the door and then creeps into your life. And once the spirit is inside your life, it is very difficult to get it out. We are under the impression in our country that, okay, you know, for instance, sex before marriage. If I have sex before marriage, I can always pull back. If I have sex before marriage, it won't affect me. I'll just stop. You forgot that sex can become an idol. That's why whenever God was creating the nation in Leviticus, the first things he begins to talk about is sexual sin. Because sexual sin is among the first things that we go awry to. He says, don't you know that when sex becomes an idol, sex becomes a doorway. And on the other side of the doorway is a malevolent evil spirit. And the spirit opens the door and comes in. And once the spirit is in your life, it's very difficult to get it out. That's why the pornography that is rampant in our society. That's why the sexual promiscuity that is rampant in our society, the text messages and all that, it's ruining marriages. Things that you do as a 13-year-old will ruin your marriage for the next 50 years when you get married 20 years from now. Because you was worshiping sex and a demon snuck through. And when it snuck through, it has these side effects. You don't believe me, though, because that seems too strange and unusual. But the Bible says so. In Acts 16:16, whenever they reach Philippi, the Bible says, now it happened as we went to prayer, Luke is speaking, that a certain slave girl possessed with a what? Spirit. You remember this? Of divination. She was possessed with an evil spirit. She met us. She said, this demonic influence brought her masters much profit by soothsaying, fortune telling. The Bible didn't say that she couldn't tell fortunes. The Bible didn't say that she was not a soothsayer. The Bible said this evil spirit gave her the power to do these things. And now this spirit was on her. You see what happens? Somebody worshiping money. She worshiping something else. And now the spirit is on her. These things happen. And so we have to be careful with idols because they will kill us. They leave a bunch of side effects. But I want you to know something. If they leave a side effect, what you've got to do is consult your physician. If the side effects are ruining your life, discontinue use and consult your physician. If the side effects are ruining your relationships, discontinue use and consult your physician. If the side effects are going to ruin your life in the future, discontinue use and consult your physician. If the side effects make you not feel safe, discontinue use and consult your physician. If the side effects are ruining your self-esteem, discontinue use and consult your physician. If the side effects are making you not trust other people, discontinue use and consult your physician. If the side effects are making you anxious and powerless, discontinue use and consult your physician. If it's making you jealous of others that you always have to keep up, discontinue use and consult your physician. If it's making you feel alone or angry, discontinue use and consult your physician. If it makes you feel pressure from every side, discontinue use and consult your physician. This is exactly what Jesus meant. This is exactly what Matthew was referring to whenever he said in Matthew 9, 11 and following, and when the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" But when he, Jesus, heard this, he said, "Those who are well have no need for the physician, but those who are sick." If idols are getting the best of you, why don't you discontinue use and consult your physician? Someone in here today needs to give their life to God. If you need to give your life to God, we want to help you. It may be something that you've heard today that's moved you to believe in Jesus, moved you to believe in who he said he was, to bring you into a deeper sense of belief. If that's been the case, you have to stop. You have to pause and say, if this Jesus is real like I believe, I'm going to have to change my life. I'm going to have to repent of the things that were so that I can do something new, something different, change my course and walk in a brand new direction. If you come down these aisles wanting to give your life to Christ, we're going to ask you the same question we were asked that brought death to many Christians throughout the century. Do you believe that Jesus is who he said he was? And we'll take your confession. And upon that confession being good, according to the scriptures in Acts 2 and 38, we'll baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, so you can have forgiveness of sin and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Some of us are already Christians. You've already been baptized. This is what you need to do. Remember your baptism. We forget our baptism. We get baptized, get up, and go back to living the same insignificant life we always have. What we need to do is take a step back and remember our baptism. Remember what happened in those waters and how in those waters the Holy Spirit vowed to keep you close to God. Lean into that. Some of us have been worshiping idols, no matter if you're 10 or 100. You don't need to come down these aisles. You need to sit right where you're at and make a decision to discontinue use and consult your physician as we together stand and sing the song of encouragement.
Restore my spirit, Lord. I need restore. My heart is weary. Please help me, dear Lord. Well, now I stand in need of more strength from your word. Renew my, rebuild my faith, oh, restore my soul. Why don't you